Thank you so much. What do I got
to
do?
Hey, welcome to the one and only, standing room only, here on Kill Radio. KillRadio.org.
Kill the radio!
I think your mic's working, my friend.
Check 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to unplug your TV and log on to www.killradio.org, baby. Yeah, bring the lubricant. Astroglide.com.
Okay, guest of the studio tonight is Chris Martinez.
Hey, how's it going, John? Thanks
and,
for having me.
And Kim Amy Lynn, how you doing? How you doing, Kim Amy?
I'm doing pretty good. I really didn't want to come in tonight, but my friend made me come.
Let her speak. Let the woman say something. This is her chance to be a star. I mean, she's a star every day of the week, but this is her chance to be a star on Kill Radio.
I really don't have anything to say. I talked through my attorney. This is Kim Berkeley.
Maybe if you stop freaking her out, Chris, she'd say something.
She doesn't talk, man. She don't speak to anybody but
mute.
Dollar bills.
All right. All right. That's fine, Amy Limkin.
Kim Berkeley.
Berkeley. We'll get back to you. Hey, though, you know what? Amy Lynn Kim, for being on the show, you got our special prize package of CDs. There you go.
Yeah.
I'd take them over there, but I can't move.
Ooh, yeah. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, yeah.
So one's a CD I produced, Kill Corporate Radio, with local bands on it.
Oh, that's groovy.
Which you can get by visiting killradio.com and .org. And hey, you can even hit the donate button there, too. And the other one's my own show. And the other one's kind of scary. So listen to that one at your own peril. That's another show here on Kill Radio. Are you scared about it? You look kind of freaked out. Yeah, I know. It's kind of a freaky CD.
Speak. Voice commander.
Where'd my booze go?
Kill Radio!
Where's my booze, Joe?
Kill it!
It's over there.
Barkeep. Yellow belly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Amy Lynn Kim. we're going to be playing, I guess, some live music for you, apparently, since Chris Martinez brought his guitar. We've got some clips for you, some interviews, and some news clips. So it's going to be a full show. Hey, there's shit going on in Iraq, right?
Yeah, I heard they're dipping girls in hot wax and pouring them down in buttermilk at Sizzler's Steakhouse in Kuwait City.
And I heard they're having an illegal war, so it's kind of like the same thing, I guess.
Oh, war, it can never be illegal. Kill is kill. When you're dead, it's done, baby. War is a part of life.
Yowza. So we're gonna listen to some news clips, and we're going to see if we can personally end the war here on Standing Room Only.
Yeah!
What do you think? Yeah, let's do it. We got some music first. Chris, what's the song you want to play for the good folks?
Let's just hear it. Just hit play. I don't really know. Like, we'll just talk about it. Let's try not to categorize anything and just listen open without any judgment. Please, God.
No judgment.
No, it's a musical.
I like it already. More after this.
One must play that wonderful record. That's, you know this one that goes like this.
Just relax.
send our Saduka death troops from the Saduka? Republic of Kill Radio out to get you.
Kill Radio!
If you don't keep listening to the show, you're listening to Standing Room Only here on killradio.org. It's kind of an emergency show, isn't it, Chris?
Oh, 911 is no joke at this time.
That's right, yeah. People were supposed to wrestle, and they didn't.
Well, they did, but they were not wearing clothing, and we could not show that on the radio.
Yes, we could not. FCC has strict regulations about what you can show on the radio.
Word.
I've got some scary shit here. Should we listen to it? I actually recorded from Iraq a Marine reenlistment recruitment.
Please.
Audio where they basically take all these guys and stick them in a room and try to talk to them until they'll reenlist, until they'll re-up. Of course, it doesn't really matter if you re-up or not. You're still going to stay over there, but...
Get your kill on.
Scary stuff. Yeah, so that's going to be playing here.
Now, I want an honest answer. How many of you sitting here right now have either looked at your team leader, squad leader, section sergeant, platoon sergeant, first sergeant, and said, I am not re-enlisting? By show of hands. All right, now leave them up. How many of you have an ironclad, all bills paid, already accepted to a college of choice, place to live, everything paid off, planned for when you get out? Leave them up. All right, think about that, man. Think about it.
All right, man, you know that the military is not a refuge for individuals who can't make it in society. We know that. We know that a lot of you have the capabilities to survive out there and do very well. But we know there's some of you out there that's immature and haven't grown up yet and need more responsibility. Some of you soldiers are real young. I didn't really start thinking about what I want to do with my life until probably about 26, 27. Some of you are, what, 23 years old. Not really know what you want to do with your life. I guarantee
you. You know, I wanted to go to art school, wanted to be a designer, but I knew that I didn't have any money for college. So I went to the recruiter and I was like, you know, I'm only gonna ask a couple questions about it, you know, and I'm only gonna do like 2 years. That's the max if I like this. And so a couple hours later, I walk out of the office like with 4-year contract. Yeah, I think it was just all the pressure I had just to get out of my home and get away.
You can't go home and live with Mama. She's not gonna put up with you anymore. You are not the same person. Your friends back on the block are still doing the dumb, stupid stuff they were doing 3 years ago when you left.
You know what? There is no shame in me going home and living with my mama for 6 months while I collect unemployment and knock out my basic college shit.
I'll go for the unemployment.
You know what? Fuck it.
If you made up your mind that you're going to get out, how many times do you got to explain yourself, you know? It's like they just can't get the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like they keep, oh, you got to go to this meeting now. You got to go, you know, I already told you, I told you I got a plan, I'm getting out. Leave me the hell alone already.
Like, I guarantee you.
Laugh if you want to, but it's true. You go out there in the real world, you spend all your money on beer, and somebody's going to be evicting you. You're going to be sitting on the street homeless with a cardboard box sitting around you, calling up Sergeant Major Lambert going, can I come back in the Army?
You haven't really thought through what you want to do with your life. You have to think through it. 10 years, 5, 10 years out. You're going to have to think about what you want to do with your future. But it's up to you what you want to do with your future. I don't know.
Yeah, if you don't rejoin the military, you're going to be living in a cardboard box. What a fucker.
I can't believe that. I won't believe it. Can you believe what he's telling him? Please.
I was just telling Chris. What the hell is that?
Go. Straight to the house.
Some mayhem going on. Well, I got to say what I was going to say now. That shit.
But
that's messed
real,
up, though.
Huh? Listen to what he's telling him. It's like either you stay here and die, or you're going to live a miserable life.
Basically,
come
on. Basically, keep fighting the man's war for oil and money, or live in a cardboard box. Those are your two choices.
Smoke and mirrors, man.
And it's like you can't rely on yourself to build a good world for yourself. You have to either join the military or just give up and live in a cardboard box. That's what he's saying.
So, soldiers, if you can hear us, you know, rebel, you know, grow your hair out and just camp out and wait. This shit will be over soon. I mean, please, put down your arms.
So is Canada. Do you, I have an interview we're going to play later with the first guy, the only guy right now, who has refused to deploy to Iraq. And what's going on over there, man?
I just don't know what to do with my, I want to jump straight out the window and hit the ground running, you know, straight to the White House.
I've got some really scary, like, gunfire and stuff. Do you want to play some music over it?
Yeah!
Do you want to grab your guitar? Damn. Okay, this is another thing. This is audio actually recorded live from Iraq. It's when they're going in, and apparently they send in these teams where they just run in and, like, grab people out of their houses and capture them, and that's what they do, and this is that. You can hear all the gunfire and crazy shit going on. Yeah, here you go. Go ahead and play, Chris.
Go, 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 go. Straight to the house. Sound like.
2-3.
Go to the front. I left the right.
Hey.
Sit down. Open the door.
Oh, great. See, that's the problem. This is a good fucking. This is like how Saddam hit out.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right.
Anyone here?
I need that tunnel rat fucking action from Vietnam.
Get out.
Pass the back.
First.
I got him.
Yes.
Please.
Watch those doors to the left.
Please.
Yeah.
I mean, to the right.
Marif, come on. We got a locked door to the left. All right. Watch my.
Hey, sir. Hey, you want us to crawl down here and take a look? I mean, it looks like a sewer hole, yeah. And it's got a fucking hole down in there. You give me a pistola, I'll strip down and go in there. I don't give a fuck.
What are you hiding? What is that? What's that? Come here. Come outside. Come outside. What is that?
Hey.
Check in there, hey, Nicholas. Check in there. What's in there?
Right.
Yeah, it's upstairs.
This room's clear.
You got it, Beezy?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Beezy, take the team upstairs. Bring the whole time right here.
Leaving still. That's all this noise.
Sometimes I'm thinking, man, what if this was, people were searching my home? I mean, you know, if this was home in Chicago and somebody, you know, there were Iraqi soldiers coming and shoving on my door, I'd be running up there with a couple guns myself, you know?
Me!
I know.
Tell them that the house is clear.
You know, that might not look all that great, but it's a necessary evil. It's inherent in war that, you know, people are going to be inconvenienced and pissed off. But, you know, if their husbands weren't trying to kill us, well, we wouldn't be there.
Katie, we need 5 AKs for
you. Gun is coming out.
No, the law says one weapon per fucking household.
Like, where's Stedman's at?
Okay, we need a hand. Gotcha.
It looks like it might come up right here.
That's dedication right there.
And it probably was two of them.
Yeah.
And this comes up like this.
All right, this is their shitter, so... You've just stepped in shit. Your country appreciates it, though.
Yeah.
He has some marketed weapons in his house.
بس انت كمان عندك شو سلاح هون في بيتك؟
ابد والله.
والله شيء. هذا اللي لقيناه شو؟
والله شيء. كله يوم قندرتك. كله يوم قندرتك. بس انا شيء جديد.
بدك
جبت.
Hey, this is the guy you wanted to take?
Yeah.
You want to take Golden, him and his son?
Sure.
Well, why the fuck does he have all his ammo?
He says he just fucking protects his house. He lives in the middle of nowhere, protects his house.
Really?
Yeah.
All that, what's the total?
He's got a fucking arm.
He said, right?
And the shotgun is jadidu hatta ma'ana futu, yeah, yeah.
80
signals. Hey,
fucking signal players,
too. 80 of them.
Alhamdulillah, we're sure. Hey, Nicholas.
Yes.
This one. Ask him what he does with the... What do you do with the signal flares? Signal flares.
Hey, شو بتساوي انت بهذه الاشارات تبع الليل؟ بتعرفها انت هاي الفلرز؟
هاي قبل بلع راس.
شعالات
بلع راس.
اكراس.
بلع راس وهيك ايوه. يعني هاي هيك هاي بنص بغداد
يستخدمونها بنص المكان
وهذا سبب كمان للحفلات كمان تستعمل خمس أسلحة في البيت
أبد هاي قلت لك لأخوتي كل واحد له قطعة ثق
I don't know how they'll take that back in the States, you know, how people are going to react to it, but I mean, out here we react a certain way because, you know, our lives are in danger, you know? It's no reason for us to relax, but as far as what we think about it, after it's all said and done with, it's, like I said, I don't know what to think about it.
There you go. Have a nice day.
Shut up.
I want him in the middle, sitting right here.
Hey, go back.
Hey, Morales, uh-huh. I just want you to keep an eye on him. Obviously, not going to shoot him. He's unarmed, but fucking, if he looks like he's going to fuck with Napoli or whatever, just get up there and do what you got to do, all right?
That's a good man.
Holy crap. Did you hear that last part? The sergeant guy is like, you do what you got to do. If he looks like the guy that they captured, if he looks like he's going to fuck with Napoli, you do what you got to do. Oh, my God. We got a caller on the line here. Let's see if we can bring him up.
Hey, caller.
Am I on the air right now?
You are on the air. What's your name?
Oh, I'm a little bit nervous. My name is Woody.
Hey, Woody.
Hi, I'm over here in Bama, and I was just saying this today. I listen to your show on a regular basis.
Awesome.
And this was... Yeah, well, this was some compelling audio footage that I felt that this country really needed to hear.
Thank you. We're really trying to do something here. We joke around sometimes a little bit, but we're dead serious, and like we would like to see this conflict end, and apparently America's fucking tired of it. I mean, you know, people were sold on it for a while, and it's all hit the fan now. No one's believing it now.
Well, you know, I think that's true, and you guys are real funny, but I think war is a past, and we just got to accept it and try and stay positive and remain together as a nation, you know. I know a lot of you guys out in California are growing your hair back long and, you know, shaving it. No, seriously, Mr. Daly.
Serious? You can't expect me to be serious about that comment.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but I just want to say that y'all are fighting for us, and I just want to thank you because I'm too much, you know, weak in my own personal physical being to fight and get my kill on and represent. But
you're ready to—I mean, you got to support your troops, but you're ready to see it end, right? I mean, we've been dealing with this bullshit for too long.
Well, you know, I think this is just, you know, a phase. The first phase, you know, what we call, you know, the rapture, and this is just prophecy being fulfilled.
Oh, dear Lord. All right.
You know, I don't want to beat a dead horse while it's drinking a beer, but I just want to say, please, let's stay together as a nation. You know, all you hippies against this war, you know, buckle up and just take one for us. Be grateful that you yourself, as a hippie, are not out there killing.
All right, thank you, Sonny, or whatever your name was. Thanks for calling in, man.
All you hippies out there, why don't you just take one for the nation? I believe was his crowning achievement in that phone call. Hey, we're gonna play a few CDs here. You know, Congress is trying. Well, I mean, some people think they're not trying enough, but they're doing something. They're saying end it now. So let's hear some more music. We'll be back with more Standing Room Only after this.
Stop, you make me weak. You knock me on my
party never ends. It's standing room only.
I hate this war, but I love Standing Room Only on killradio.org.
That was a cue for some music.
Yeah.
Bad music all night long on Standing Room Only. Only bad music has meaning. I'm sorry, man. We got to turn that shit off. That's too awful. Hey, you're listening to Standing Room Only here on KillRadio.org.
Kill Radio!
We're trying to have some fun, but remember, we're also trying to end that conflict. So let's do it.
What good is that going to do?
I'll feel better. I'll feel like I did something important.
That's what it's all about then, I guess.
I guess it is. Oh, we have a phone caller.
Feedback! Noise!
Hey, you're on Standing Room Only. Who is this?
Hi, this is Rob.
Hi, Rob. What can we do for you this fine evening?
Hey, actually, I have some information. I think that'd be valuable not only to you, but also to the listeners in regard to the Iraq War.
Let's hear it.
There's a website called michaelmoore.com.
Uh-huh.
Michael Moore, one word.
We know who Michael Moore is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but for the listeners who's not familiar with him, there's a lot of good information for information in regards to that if you're considering joining the Army but changed your mind, you don't have to follow through. You can always stay at home and not carry on with this war.
I'm glad you brought this up because we're actually going to play, probably after this phone call, an interview with the one person so far who has refused to deploy to Iraq.
That's Kevin Blechdom.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand what the war is about. I mean, with the economy that we have established, it needs continuous growth. The Middle East is the last area that America has for the economy to continue to grow. And once they get hold of there and it grows as far as it goes, then the economy is going to collapse. So they're fighting tooth and nail.
Yeah.
So they had to justify utilizing the military to establish growth in the economy there in that country. And I really think that it's connected with 9/11. I really think that America government is behind 9/11, so that way we can create a threat and say, look, there's terrorism here. We need to send our troops to the Middle East.
A lot of people share that view.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for calling in.
The caller, are you still there?
Oh, we got Chris Martinez wants to ask you a question.
Yeah, my name is Chris Martinez. I'm sorry to interrupt you. But how do you feel about the future? How do you feel about the future of rock and roll as itself?
What was the question again?
He wants to know how you feel about the future of rock and roll by itself.
Well, rock and roll kind of is there's a bit of rebelliousness to it. It's from the punk rock scene. You know, the message of punk is lost, but punk is here to stay. I think originally it was about creating social change, and I think that it's kind of selling out.
Yes.
It was also kind of about taking responsibility for stuff through anarchy, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you got to have an understanding of what anarchy means. I mean, it means being organized without authority.
Yeah.
And it is
possible. Well, it has a lot of brother. Meaning. I mean, a lot of people throw that term around and use it in different ways.
Well, yeah, it's they kind of dehumanize the term of anarchy and as well as towards anarchists because it means that we live without being controlled. I mean, colonialism is a culture of slavery. I mean, America itself is occupying territory of this land. I mean, very much what's happening in Iraq is happening here on this land. A lot of people don't understand the connection. I mean, Bush said in the air that we're there to help them, but hey, you know, the people of Iran and neighboring cities never ask us for our help. It's all genocide.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent point that you're bringing up.
Yeah, but I know. It's definitely true. I mean, what's happening in Iraq is happening here to the people. I mean, it does happen.
It's all connected with
corporate
culture.
You do have cops barging into your homes. I had situations, too, just for speaking out about in regards to environmental issues where the FBI is going through my house searching for so-called evidence concerned that I might be a so-called terrorist while I'm sitting there on the couch handcuffed.
Wow.
So it happens here in the States just as much as Iraq. It's just a lot of people are not aware of it there. And there's a lot of censorship in regards to the media.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in. That's awesome. And I appreciate you sharing that stuff. You're going to listen to the interview we have coming up next, right? Because I think that's right up your alley with the dude who is refusing to deploy.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I hope that a lot of other listeners are out there, especially those who are considering joining the war, is listening this too. You know, if you have second thoughts, you know, you're not alone. And there's information out there like Macklemore.com where you can get some support.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Wow.
Well, he was talkative, but he actually had a lot of... Hello? Phone. But he actually had a lot of information. Should we play that interview?
Yeah, you know what? I could use a bit of fresh air after all those words to digest and let me think about what he just said.
All right, well, let's play this interview, and then we'll play some more music because we're having a party here for the end of the for it all to end. So join us in your home. Rejoice because... you can help. You can support us, and you can help end it.
Please send money. killradio.org.
Well, that's not where I was going with this, Chris. But thanks, anyways.
Couldn't hurt. Little cash money never hurt nobody.
All right, we have the interview coming up here. More standing room only after
on
this.
killradio.org.
Strike Brigade based in Fort Lewis, Washington, and he was scheduled to deploy with his unit to Iraq in June. But refused to go. Now, he hasn't deserted. He remains at his base. But he says he is not seeking status as a conscientious objector and is willing to fight in wars he considers legal. He's even volunteered to fight in Afghanistan. Now, he has also volunteered to submit his resignation, but the Army won't accept it, and he is likely to face a full court-martial in February. Lieutenant Watada, thanks for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much.
Now, you joined the Army right after the U.S. was invading Iraq, and now you're refusing to go. Some critics might look at this as somewhat disingenuous. You've taken an oath, received training, but now you won't fight. Can you explain your rationale behind this?
Sure. I think that in March of 2003, when I joined up, I, like many Americans, believed the administration when they said that the threat from Iraq was imminent, that there were weapons of mass destruction all throughout Iraq, there were stockpiles of it, and because of Saddam Hussein's ties to al-Qaeda and the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the threat was imminent, and we needed to invade that country immediately in order to neutralize that threat. Since then, I think I, as many Americans, are realizing that those justifications were intentionally falsified in order to fit a policy long established, established long before 9/11 of just toppling the Saddam Hussein regime and setting up an American presence in Iraq.
Tell me how those views evolved. How did you come to that conclusion?
I think, you know, the facts are out there. They're not difficult to find. They just take a little bit of willingness and interest on behalf of anyone who is willing to seek out the truth and find the facts. All of it is in the mainstream media, but it is quickly buried and it is quickly hidden by, you know, other events that come and go. And all it does is takes a little bit of logical reasoning. You know, the Iraq Survey Group came out and said that there were no weapons of mass destruction after 1991 and during 2003. The 9/11 Commission came out and said there were no ties with Iraq to 9/11 or Al-Qaeda. The president himself came out and said that nobody in his administration ever suggested that there was a link. And yet those ties to Al-Qaeda and the weapons of mass destruction were strongly suggested. They said there was no doubt there were weapons of mass destruction all throughout 2002, 2003, and even 2004. And so they came out and they say this, and yet they say it was bad intelligence, not manipulated intelligence, that was the problem. And then you have veteran members of the Central Intelligence Agency that come out and say, no, it was manipulated intelligence. We told them there was no WMD. We told them there were no ties to Al-Qaeda, and they said that that's not what they wanted to hear.
Well, now, do you think that you could have determined some of this information prior to joining the military? A lot of it, as you say, was out there. There were questions going into the war whether WMD existed or not, and you seemingly accepted the administration's explanation for that. Why did you do that at that point?
Well, you know, certainly, yeah, there was other information out there that I could have sought out, but I put my trust in our leaders in government.
Was there a turning point for you when you actually decided that this was definitely an illegal war?
Certainly. I think that, you know, when we take an oath, we as soldiers and officers swear to protect the Constitution with our lives if necessary, and those constitutional values and laws that make us free and make us a democracy. And when we have one branch of government that intentionally deceives another branch of government in order to authorize war, and intentionally deceive the people in order to gain that public support, you know, that is a grave breach of our constitutional values or our laws of checks and balances and separation of powers.
But, Lieutenant, was there one specific incident that happened in Iraq or that the administration had said or done at a certain period that said, I have to examine this more closely?
No, I think, you know, certainly as the war went on and it was not going well, doubts came up in my mind, but at that point I still was willing to go. At one point I even volunteered to go to Iraq with any unit that was short of junior officers.
At what point was that?
This was in September of 2005. But as soon as I found out and as I began to read and research more and more that the administration had intentionally deceived the public and Congress over the reasons for going to Iraq, that's when I told myself there's something wrong here.
Was there any kind of personal conviction as well? I mean, in terms of exposure to returning soldiers or Marines, the kinds of wounds they suffered, the kind of stories that they were bringing back with them, did that have any kind of influence or create any factors for you in coming to this decision?
Sure. I felt, well, in a general sense, I felt that, you know, when we put our trust in the government, we put our lives in their hands. That is a huge responsibility, and we also say that when we put our lives in your hands, we ask that you not abuse that trust, that you not take us to war over flimsy or false reasons, that you take us to war when it is absolutely necessary, because we have so much to lose, you know, the soldiers, our lives, our limbs, our minds, and our families, that the government and the people owe that to us.
Was there a fear that played into that? Did you see returning soldiers that had lost limbs? Was there a concern for you that you might lose your life going to Iraq?
No, there wasn't. That has nothing to do with the issue. The issue is here that we have thousands of soldiers returning, and what is their sacrifice for? Not for terrorism or establishing democracy or whatever the other reasons are. And, I saw that the pain of agony etched upon the faces of all these families of of lost soldiers, and I told myself that this needs to stop. We cannot have people in power who are irresponsible and corrupt, and they keep on going that way because they're not held accountable to the people.
You know, on that note, Lieutenant, let me read you something from a speech that you gave in August to the Veterans for Peace. And you had said at one point, many have said this about the World Trade Towers, never again. I agree, never again. Will we allow those who threaten our way of life to reign free, be they terrorists or elected officials? The time to fight back is now. The time to stand up and be counted is today. Who were you speaking of when you said that?
I'm sorry?
Who were you speaking about when you said that?
I was speaking about everybody, the American people, that we all have that duty, that obligation, that responsibility to do something when we see our government perpetrating a crime upon the world, or even upon us. And I think with people, the American people have lost that, lost that sense of duty. There is no self-interest in this war for the vast majority of the American people. And because of that, the American soldiers have suffered. You know, there really just is a detachment from this war in many of the American people because there is no draft, or for whatever reason, because the taxes haven't been raised. They don't have anything personally to lose or gain with this war, and so they take little interest.
Let me ask you, do you believe that President Bush and his advisors are guilty of criminal conduct in the prosecution of this war?
That's not something for me to determine. I think it's for the newly elected Congress to determine during the investigations that they should hold over this war and pre-war intelligence.
But in some ways, you have determined that. You're saying this is an illegal war, and an illegal act usually takes prosecution by someone with criminal intent. Is that correct?
Right. Right. And they have taken me to court with that, but they have refused, or it will be very unlikely that the prosecution of the military court will allow me to bring in evidence and witnesses to testify on my behalf that the war isn't illegal. So therefore, it becomes the responsibility of Congress, if the military is refusing to do that, it becomes the responsibility of Congress to hold our elected leaders accountable.
Now, this is the same Congress, though, in a lot of ways, voted for this war initially. Do you think that they're going to turn around and, in some ways, say that they were wrong and, you know, hold hearings to determine exactly that they made a mistake as well?
You know,
that seems like a long shot.
Right. Well, I think some in Congress are willing to do that, and some aren't. And that's the struggle, and that's the fight that's going to occur over the next year.
Let me ask you why you decided to go to the press with this. In this particular case, you're the first officer, or there may have been other officers that have refused these orders, but you're the first one to really do this publicly. Why did you do that?
Because I wanted to explain to the American people why I was taking the stand I was taking, and that it wasn't selfish reasons, it wasn't for cowardly reasons. And, you know, I think the most important reason here is to raise awareness among the American people that, hey, there's a war going on and American soldiers are dying every day. Hundreds of Iraqis are dying every day. You need to take an interest and ask yourself where you stand and what you're willing to do to end this war if you do believe that it's wrong, that it's illegal and immoral. And I think I have accomplished that. Many, many people come up to me and say, you know, because of you, I have taken an active interest in what's going on over in Iraq. And also, you know, to give a little hope and inspiration back to a lot of people. For a long time, I was really without hope, thinking that there was nothing I could do about something that I saw that was so wrong and so tragic. And I think a lot of people who have been trying to end this war felt the same way, that there was just nothing they could do. And I think by taking my stand publicly and stating my beliefs and standing on those beliefs, a lot of people have taken encouragement from that.
Lieutenant Watata, you said that you had a responsibility to your own conscience in this particular situation. Did you also have a responsibility to your unit as well? And I just want to read you a quote again from a veteran foreign affairs communications director, Jerry Newberry. And he said, he has an obligation to fulfill, and it's not up to the individual officer to decide when he's going to deploy or not deploy. Some other officer will have to go in his place. He needs to think about that. Can you react to that quote?
Well, what is, you know, what I'm doing is for the soldiers. I'm trying to end something that is criminal, as something that should not have been started in the first place, and something that is making America less safe, and that is the Iraq War. By just going there and being a willing participant and doing my job, whatever I'm told to do, which actually exacerbates the situation and makes it worse, I would not be serving the best interests of this country, nor the soldiers that I'm serving with. What I'm trying to do is end something, as I said, that is illegal and immoral, and so that all the soldiers can come home and this tragedy can come to an end. You know, I don't know who this person is, who is saying. It seems like people and critics make this distinction between the order to deploy and any other order, as if the order to deploy is just something that's beyond any other order. Orders have to be determined on whether they're legal or not. And if the order to deploy to a war that is unlawful, if that is given, then that order itself is unlawful.
Lieutenant, how did your peers and your fellow officers react to your decision?
I think for the vast majority, there are people, you know, I don't know what their personal opinions are. I know that there have been some people within the military who have not agreed with my stance, and there have some been a lot of members of the Army of all ranks who have agreed with what I've done. And I see it almost every other day where someone in uniform or a dependent approaches me in person or through correspondence and thanks me for what I have done and either supports or respects my stand.
Now you've remained on base, and that's been a situation that can't be too comfortable for you. Can you fill us in on what that's been like there?
I think that for the most part, people that I interact with closely, you know, I have been moved. I'm no longer in the 3rd Striker Brigade. I'm over in 1st Corps. And I think for the most part, people treat me professionally, politely, but keep their distance.
My mic levels.
All right, we're going to have to cut that off. Because
that was compelling radio,
really,
I just got to say.
Clip, like, but it was very, very good.
It was something y'all need to hear, whether you liked it or not.
It's true. So we're supposed to be informing and entertaining, right, Chris?
Yes, edutainment, please.
So are you going to play something for us?
You know what? Why don't we take a quick commercial break, and then I'll rub into it when we go on. If you want to hit, you know, party.
All right, well, we'll hit the party machine here, and we'll come back with some live music from Chris Martinez.
.gov.
Artist. Musician.
Shyster extraordinaire.
And I don't know. Politician. We'll be back after this. Holy fucking shit. the music of choice of Chris Martinez. I fucking love it.
This is the shit I lift weights to, y'all. Like, I'm in the gym, you know, I got my oil on my biceps. I'm lifting, you know, carnal desires.
Ooh.
Sorry to end the war here at killradio.org. Boy, those monitors are up high. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good. I would like to thank you, Mr. Daly, for having me on your show here. I really appreciate
welcome.
It.
Yeah, thanks for coming along. Thanks for bringing Kim.
Kim, the hell is she going? Yeah, Kim is undisclosed location right now.
I think we scared her off, Chris.
Well, she frightens easily. She's a very sensitive creature, and that's why I love her. But I just like to play a little song for everybody out there who's not sure about, you know, anything at all. So I also like to give a shout out to Kevin Blechdom, Mr. Derek Basek, and a little bit of infinitecomplexity.org.
Hey, where's that party tonight?
Oh, I'll tell you about that after the show.
All right, sounds good.
Five, six, why? Check microphones. Is this guitar microphone able to facilitate?
Yeah, they're all up.
Specific command. I don't hear it on the monitor. Fuck your own mom, be your own dad, buy your best friend, shoot a broken arrow through the crowded streets, doing donna donna teeter totter totter scan. Before I kick your motherfucking ass. Why don't you fuck your own mom, drink your own piss, eat your own shit, do your own dishes, wash your own clothes, do your own pajamas, rewind, find a teeter totter totter down. Before I kick your motherfucking ass. Ba ba boom da ba da boom shak la boom shai de boom shal boom shala osa back you got what I did to do before I kick your motherfucking ass. Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. Standing room only. 2007 years I've waited to be here with you all. I'd like to invite you, if you're in the Los Angeles area, there is a going away party. Yeah, sponsored by Budweiser and Heineken.
It is not. Hey, thanks for being on the show. It's been a great show. We pulled it together at the last minute. It's been a great show.
Say something, Kim.
Come on, Kim. Say something.
She's a Zen master, and she knows that.
She was about to say something. You took the mic away from her. Let her say something.
She cannot speak. The real world is unspeakable.
She can speak.
She knows that. Wait, let me say something. Anything that can be said by the human voice is subject to change and is not the eternal truth.
Kim, what do you think of Kill Radio?
Exactly. God bless y'all. Keep killing out there.
Let the woman speak.
She won't say a damn thing.
All right, that's cool. That's cool. Thanks for being here tonight. Enjoy your prize package, even though you didn't speak. You don't need to speak. You don't need to speak.
Say thank you, Kimberly.
Say thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kimberly. Thank you both for being on the show. And you both definitely added to the atmosphere here tonight.
Yeah.
We're having a party to end the war, right?
Yeah, you know what? There is a party going on if you're in the LA area at 2640 Monmouth near the University of Southern California. Telephone number 213.
Hey, that's our old crib.
Exactly my point.
All right, we're going to take you out with some Chris Martinez.
More
special,
disco,
special
cholo.
Mix music.
This is cholo music. S.A. Cholo Barrio shit.
Brand new Standing Room Only with Satellite Class. Yeah! Next week on Standing Room Only. Don't miss it. They're going to play live. We'll see you then, everybody. Good night.
At a time, only one city in the region had a big box store. So residents of nearby Town A and Town B travel to that city on weekends to scoop up those corporate chain bargains. Their local economies both suffer from this leakage, and their sales tax income drops. Then Town A gets a big box store. That stops its leakage as residents stay home to shop, keeping their money in the economy. Plus, now Town B's residents don't have to travel as far and plug their own cash into Town A's economy. Town A's mom and pops even benefit. Town A's sales tax revenues increase. That new big box store in Town A is looking like a really smart idea. But big box corporations must continue to grow or they'll die. So Town B finally gets its own corporate chain store. Now everyone is staying home to shop. The big box stores have such cheap prices and efficient operations that they put their local independent competitors out of business. Town A's sales tax revenue stagnate and maybe even decrease as the big box store becomes the only game in town.
Many, many communities across the nation are dependent on sales tax. Okay. Sales tax. And so communities start to mainline that sales tax and they go, okay, this is now economic development. So they're trying to pull retail development, especially Walmart, into their economic development strategies because it's the tax dollars that they're addicted to.
This quick fix has many communities believing that they must attract corporate chains to stay alive. But in historic Santa Fe, New Mexico, they've come up with a simpler, homegrown solution.
We say take the 10% challenge. If you just move 10% of your income to a local business where previously you were doing at a business that was leaving town, you would increase the tax revenue here in Santa Fe by $6.6 million. Where those dollars are spent are vital. And you can vote right today, this afternoon, on where you're going to eat lunch by supporting your neighbor. That money is going to recycle in Santa Fe or in your local community very strongly.
Radio.
To look at it in monetary terms, firms within this industry will earn about $100 billion a year in annual revenue.
In modern-day Iraq, the U.S. Army finds itself overtasked, and they have to resort to a wide variety of outside suppliers for everything from trucking to food to security.
Essentially, you have sort of three major categories of companies. You have your non-lethal service companies, and they support military operations, peacekeeping operations, logistically. And then you have two other categories.
Military consultant firms. If you were a U.S. Army soldier going into Iraq right now, your final training program in Kuwait wouldn't be given to you by U.S. Army folks. It'd be given to you by military consultants. They won't do the fighting for you, but they'll come in and train and advise you how to do the job better.
And you have your private military companies. The private military companies generally work for governments, and they are brought in to change the strategic situation.
The very first one of these, the most notable one, was executive outcomes.
Now, many of the companies on the ground in Iraq that are providing these tactical roles fall within that domain. Basically, any company that has guns for hire. Sometimes these companies call themselves private security companies, but we're really not talking about security guards at the local mall. We're talking about companies that are hired to provide tactical military capability in the middle of a combat zone.
George Bush has created the ultimate entrepreneurial slash Wild West scenario in Iraq. I mean, if you've got a gun and you're for hire, there's work for you.
My name is Garrett Cornish. I know military or police experience.
Hi.
Shot?
It's 9 o'clock. You're listening to the Kimberly Show on KillRadio.org.
Taking firearms-related training courses for about 3 years. I'm a tactical pistol instructor with Sig Arms Academy.
Kimberly, need not speak.
VIP is the most vulnerable when he's entering or leaving a vehicle.
Her ideas
arriving
are
or
beyond
departing
speech.
From a venue.
Drivers fucking have two
if
hands
you ask
on the wheel
Kimberly to
time.
Speak, you don't know what you're talking about.
Fuck off.
Like a true Zen master, she staples a ceiling fan to the microphone cable.
Firearms courses.
She's like a teenage ninja.
Your guns say mainly through cigars. Academy in the U.S. is one of the bigger, more well-known schools.
Look out, man! They're shooting at us.
For us, were vehicle-based IEDs, so you may have
an improvised device,
which would be an IED inside a vehicle. That vehicle could have artillery shells in it, it could have explosives in it, and then it's wired to explode at a predetermined time, or possibly the vehicle will roll up on a convoy and detonate when it's next to a convoy. You could have pre-positioned improvised explosive devices along a roadway in tumbleweed. IEDs were placed inside the tumbleweed in their common sight, so you drive up, you don't have any notice before it detonates.
There was something inside the drainage!
The more aggression you create, the more people that you zipper in front of the cars, the more people that get shot at. I mean, you're working in Middle East countries. It's not like you forgive somebody because they shot up your car.
وإن شاء الله تتحطم كل آمالهم لأنهم مرتزقة.
I said that Iraq was the wrong war, in the wrong place, at the wrong time. Proud that we defined energy independence and made it for the first time part of the presidential race. Proud of a health care plan that we laid out that to this moment remains viable and waiting to be used in order to lower the health care costs for our fellow Americans. We came close, Mr. President, certainly close enough to be tempted to try again. There are powerful reasons to want to continue that fight now. But I've concluded this isn't the time for me to mount a presidential campaign. It is the time to put my energy to work as part of the majority in the Senate, to do all I can to end this war and strengthen our security and our ability to fight the real war on terror. The people of Massachusetts have given me an incredible privilege to serve, and I intend to work here to change a policy in Iraq that threatens all that I've cared about and fought for since I came home from Vietnam. The fact is that what happens here in the next 2 years may irrevocably shape or terribly distort the administration of whichever candidate is next elected president. Decisions are being taken and put into effect today and in the days to come that may leave to the next president a wider war, a war even more painful, more difficult, more prolonged than the war we already have. Iraq, if we senators force a change, of course, may yet bring stability and an exit with American security intact. Or it may bring our efforts in the region to a failure that we will all recognize as a catastrophe. I don't want the next president to find that they have inherited a nation still divided and a policy destined to end, as Vietnam did, in a bitter and sad legacy. I intend to devote all my efforts and energies over the coming 2 years, not to another race for the presidency for myself, but to doing whatever I can to ensure that the next president can take the oath with a reasonable prospect of success for him or her, for the United States. And I intend to speak the truth as I find it, without regard for political correctness or partisan advantage, to advise my colleagues and my fellow citizens to the best of my ability and judgment, and to support every action the Senate may reasonably and constitutionally take to guide and direct the ship of state. This mission, this responsibility is something all of us must accept. And as someone who made the mistake of voting for the resolution that gave the president the authority to go to war, I feel the weight of the personal responsibility to act, to devote time and energy to the national dialogue and an effort to limit this war and bring our participation to a conclusion. I thank the chair.
All the essays in the house.
This song is going out to Mr. Jay Cooper. I know you got away with the $2 million. Someone wants.
Go, 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 go. Straight to the house. Sarmac. two bridge.
Go to the front. I got the right.
Hey.
Sit down. Open the door. Open the door.
Oh, great. That's the problem. This is a good fucking... This is like how Saddam hit out.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right.
Any more gears?
I need that tunnel rat fucking action from Vietnam.
Get out, get out.
Watch the left.
I got it. Yes, please.
Watch
those doors to the left. Please.
I mean
to the right.
Come on.
We got a locked door to the left.
All right.
Watch my.
Hey, sir. Hey, you want to crawl down here and take a look? I mean, it looks like a sewer hole, yeah.
I have no shame.
It's got a fucking hole down in there. Give me a pistola, I'll strip down and go in there. I don't give a fuck.
Kim is fucking awesome, but don't mess with her shit. She'll fuck you up.
Come here, come outside.
I'll tell you, give her a pistol and she'll strip down and go in there.
What is that?
I'll strip down.
Check in there, nigga. Check in there, what's in there? Yeah, this room's clear. You got it, Beezy?
Yeah. Alright. Beezy, take the team upstairs. Bring the whole time right here.
Leaving still. Noise.
If you can feel what I am feeling, then the truth is just believing. You're my,
sometimes
you're
I'm
my
man,
diamond girl.
People are searching my home. I mean, you know, this was home in Chicago, and somebody was, you know, there were Iraqi soldiers coming and shoving on my door. I'd be running up there with a couple guns myself, you know?
Might not look all that great, but it's a necessary evil. It's inherent in war that, you know, people are gonna be inconvenienced and pissed off. But you know, if their husbands weren't trying to kill us, well, we wouldn't be there.
Time's coming out.
No, the law says.